Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you again for joining us. Hope you have been following along with everything that's going on. If not, we're going to try to fill you in on some of it. It is a busy time. We got so much going on out there. We can't keep up with it all, so we could use some more troops helping us out. We've got Bob Griswold with
us. Hello, hello.
And we got Mary Griswold with us.
Hello.
We've got Diane Ruffino with us.
Hello, hello.
We got Hal and Rainer James with us.
Hey, Rick.
And that's our regular crew. And we don't have any special guests this morning, but we're all special, right?
Mm-hmm. Darn too.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, we had a very successful candidates forum this past week at Orringer Auditorium at Craven Community College. We've ended up with 18, was that it?
Seven
candidates and a representative for one of the candidates.
And we had a speaker for an officer that didn't participate. So I think we're about 20 people that participated in the forum altogether besides us.
Well, I think we had actually 19 of the 26 candidates
we
that
did.
Are running for the 3rd District seat, U.S.
From
House of Representatives. From all parties.
Almost all parties.
Plus somebody running for lieutenant governor in 2020.
Right. All right. And we had about 130, I think, in the audience.
That's about what I counted.
Yeah.
I saw somebody wrote 150 today.
I estimated 150. Maybe I blew.
I thought I saw 150 about.
Anyway, we...
I was up on stage. Maybe I didn't see them all.
We were real pleased with the outcome. When you've got that many and your time constraints, it's real hard because you know how politicians love to talk about themselves.
But Diane managed so well. It was beautiful. We got a lot of good compliments about that.
We
Diane.
Did. What we did, we decided not to follow the normal set of rules for doing political forums like that. We didn't want them to come up there with their canned speeches and, you know, all their talking points and all that. So what we did is once we had them all there, the ones that were going to show up, we divided the time equally amongst them. That gave each of the candidates 5 minutes to speak. And we also gave them some guidelines. They could choose to either follow them or not to follow them. Those guidelines were we gave them five topics that we felt were of utmost importance to our voters. They had to deal with Second Amendment, the wall, and, you know, abortion and things like that.
Immigration.
National debt.
National mm-hmm. debt. And so we asked that during their 5 minutes, we asked that they would address those issues. And I think pretty much most of them did.
They did.
Yeah, you know, one very interesting thing to me is one of the people that were there said to me, you notice y'all had them organized in such a way that the first several speakers were of one party and the next speaker was another. So the first several speakers pretty much went along the same line. But the next person that got up, oh, man, he was entirely different. Yeah. So you really could tell the difference.
And,
yeah, but you know,
and weren't they invited to just seat themselves?
That's right.
So they really sorted themselves out, did they not?
We didn't seat them in any particular order. We didn't provide any of them with any advanced information on what their topics would be.
But I guess the folks from a party just decided to sit together, most of them anyway.
That's what I was talking about. We did it a little bit different. They didn't know how much time they were going to have. They didn't know what the questions were going to be or if there were any questions. They had nothing to go on other than we're going to try to treat them all equally.
And then we didn't know how much time each of them would have until we saw how many people got there.
Right.
And then afterwards, we had the time to do three other
follow-up questions.
And they were beautiful because they were very short. You only gave them 30 seconds apiece.
Only gave them 30 seconds apiece.
And, man, I'm going to tell you, it was like – just like shotguns. It was great.
I'd like to make an observation. There was a woman in the back who listened to Diane's initial comments. And, of course, it reflected CCTA's mission statement and outlook on life, our philosophy of government, if you will. And she said, that's not nonpartisan. And I thought, poor thing. I didn't want to get into a discussion with her there because the meeting was going forward. But the truth is, she misunderstood the difference between a philosophy of government and a political party. Yep. And we do not endorse any particular political party, but we do have a philosophy of government, and we're very open and frank about that.
And it's conservative and constitutionalist. And she did come to me to file a complaint.
Uh-huh. Well, she came to me and told me she was filing a complaint, too. Yeah.
she told me she was offended and by the moderator's remarks.
But they were wonderful.
For the life of me, I couldn't think of what she said that would have offended her. But then she said, this is not supposed to be a political thing. It's supposed to be
a candidate forum?
I'm thinking, wait a minute. We've got 19 politicians sitting on the stage running for political office and trying to tell you why you should vote for them. How is this not supposed to be
a political thing? The poor woman must have been confused.
Well, she came running up to me and she started off on this same thing, and I was flabbergasted. I just said, well, ma'am, nobody else has complained, and I don't know what to say except I'm sorry if you're offended, but that's the case. I mean, right. I can't do anything about it.
You weren't charged.
Be offended again.
Yeah, that's right.
You weren't charged anything to come in, and nobody's keeping you from leaving. So.
I would suggest she go start her own forum.
But yeah. There were two unhappy people in that whole thing, so.
And
one was a candidate and one was one of the audience. And so I think it was doggone good, as many people
yeah,
were there.
There were a lot of smiles and a lot of nice compliments, and a lot of people were very complimentary of what Diane had to say.
I think it says a lot for our name recognition also that we were able to get that many candidates to agree to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had two TV stations, local, Channel 9 and Channel 12 were there.
I thought there were three, just two.
We had two local.
Oh, okay, I got you.
The third one came up from Wilmington.
That
was Spectrum News. So they made the journey from Wilmington to come. And I saw some people with pens out writing. There may have been some reporters there also.
Someone live streamed it, I think.
Yeah, two of the TV stations live streamed it. I live streamed part of it. And then there was a woman that came from Raleigh to live stream. So.
I was interviewed on the way out. I don't know what they did with her, where he was from. He had a pad and looked official is all I knew, and he wanted to talk.
You know, I think after we did the forum and the questioning and the follow-up questions or whatever else, also there was plenty of time out in the atrium to actually talk to the candidates, mm-hmm. for individuals to get close with the candidates.
And we asked the candidates to please stick around for that so they could have one-on-one time with the press and with the citizens.
And they were very
attending.
Generous about that.
Yes.
One member of CCTA came up to me, and I know that she's a person that really gets upset if meetings drag on too long. And so I kind of went on the defensive, and I said, I thought that we had about the right length of time. She said, oh, it was wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of it. I was like, oh, wow.
Well, before this segment drags on too long, I'm going to wrap it up.
But, Rick, I also want to say thank you to the Craven Community College for having that.
Oh, it was a wonderful venue.
Right.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was, and they went out of the way to accommodate us, and we really appreciate that.
Rick, I got one question. Sound. Was the sound good coming out? Because back on the stage where I was, sometimes it didn't sound, you know, as loud as it might.
Well, I was sitting right by the entrance.
Well, yes,
because I was giving out brochures, and the sound was good. You could hear people.
That's wonderful.
The sound by design.
I thought it was probably the case.
Yeah, the sound by design is for the people in the audience.
Absolutely.
And you were sitting at the back of the stage.
Right.
So. Okay. So anyway, you might ask, why does CCTA do things like this? Well. It's part of our mission statement to educate the public. And there's nothing we could educate you on any more important than to try to let you learn and know about the candidates that are running and what they're running on. We did it fairly and equally. They all got the same questions. They all got an equal amount of time to respond to them. And it was great. If you missed it, you can go to cctaxpayers.com and you can hear the audio. We don't have the video up there, but we have the audio of the entire thing. And as of yesterday, you could still go to Channel 9's Facebook page, I believe, and the live stream was still up there. So that's why we do that.
One more quick thing. We ought to thank the radio stations. There were several radio stations that gave us promotion for our event without any charge to us, and I thought that was wonderful.
Yes. Well, you know, it was a very important event, and so it was a public service. Also, the County Compass, we got good coverage in that.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Local newspaper. So, yeah, we're real pleased with that come of it. So what else does CCTA do to educate the public? Well, we vet the candidates also. We have a set of questions. They're all asked the questions, and we get their answers. Their answers are published for the public, and we're going to talk about that right after this break.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, before the break, I was telling you that, you know, one of the primary objectives of CCTA is to provide education to the public on the Constitution, on candidates, and, you know, we talked about the vetting process, and Hal James is here. He's chairman of our vetting committee, and Hal, I believe y'all have started that process already, so tell us about how that works.
Indeed we have, and we're trying to expedite it because of the short length of time that this campaign's going to last. And we had a meeting, and we chose some questions based on the position. Sometimes we had to have a bunch of questions that would fit almost
right.
Any.
You don't want to ask a judge questions right. About what the sheriff's going
right.
to do.
But all of these are people that are going for the U.S. House from right. District 3. And so that's what they were pointed toward. Now, we have really good committee people. Rainer did an especially good job. Bob did an especially good job. And I tell you, Mary and I and others that were working on this thing, I felt like my job ended up just being keeping everybody focused and keeping us from getting off track and talking and gossiping too much. But they came up with a beautiful product, and as I said, we're going to have to expedite it, so we'll try to do it by email. And by the email system that I use, I can tell whether it's been opened and when it's been opened.
Right.
So if they've been several days and haven't opened it, or a few days and haven't opened it, I'll start on a phone campaign to try to get them to respond. Right. And that has worked very well in the past. And I think it'll work really well again this time. And if you want to know what some of the questions are, I defer to Rainer. She kind of served as our bookkeeper recorder during the meeting, and she's got some notes on it.
Well, let's don't go through them all. Just give us two or three of them.
Who or what gives individual citizens their rights?
Right.
Do federal courts have the right to change the meaning of the U.S. Constitution based on their opinions of societal change?
That's a good one.
What is federal government's role in the education of U.S. citizens/non-citizens?
Okay, so what you're doing is, constitutionally, what is the role of the government?
More or less, yes, and we get into some other issues, too, but some attitudinal things, for example, to do with debt.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's entirely appropriate because that's where we're going to be serving in the U.S. government, the U.S. Congress.
Right. And us being CCTA Taxpayers Association, we are concerned with the debt and where our money goes.
Duh.
And how it's managed. So, Hal, once y'all have compiled this list now, how do people find out about it? Where do they get access to it?
Well, you know it's going to be posted on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And there are good links on their website. And it's obvious. There is a, what do you call the little tabs up at the top?
The menus at the top.
The menus, right. And one of them says Watchdog and Vetting. So you would go to there first and look. Then it's by the name, so that it's linked by name. And
right.
You go ahead and look and read about their answers.
So, you go to cctaxpayers.com. And at the menu tabs across the top, you select one that says Watchdog and Vetting.
Right. And I'd like to add that Diane has contributed an awful lot to our understanding of what goes on in the legislatures, and with her experience as a lawyer and many trips that she's made to talk to our service in government about what's going on and things like that. And I think she's an excellent person, and I hope that she takes an interest sometime in the future in actually serving in some capacity herself in the government.
Right. I will briefly go back to the form, the candidate form, because of something you just triggered here. You know, there were a lot of Trump conservatives there. Everybody was a Trump conservative, you know. Now, whether they'll be that way after they get elected or not, it would remain to be seen. But I must honestly say, there were four or five, based on what they said, the way they answered their questions and all, that I could easily vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
absolutely.
Yes.
Right. Now, at the convention the other day, I did make a statement when I was talking about we had a lot of good candidates there that spoke, and a lot of them said all the right things. But what we have to focus on is picking the one candidate that's going to do all the right things.
Well, I tell you, to me, track record means a whale
right.
a lot.
Absolutely. And we had three that already are legislators, so they definitely have a record you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that at ncleg.org or is it gov?
Just look up the General Assembly.
ncleg.net, that's North Carolina legislative website. You can look at all the bills they've put in, the ones they voted on. You can look at their record and see, are they truly conservative or they just talk a big game? Bob?
You know, going back to the vetting reports, Hal, when somebody does go out there to look for them, they're going to see the person's name, and they're going to say they're also going to see U.S. House District 3.
Right.
And the reason is there are a lot of old vetting reports out there. Why? Because we're trying to hold the winning candidate to whatever they said they were going to do. So we'll leave that out there so that they promise to do something, we're going to hold their feet to the fire.
Right. Now, if they have a 4 or 6 year term, we can say, hey, 4 years ago when we vetted you, this is what you said, now you're falling back on it.
I'm sure glad Bob brought that up. And I just want to add that The reason we leave them on so long is a lot of these people who are interested in being in public offices will run again sometime and maybe win. And we're trying to hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Diane, quick.
Talk about that same point, leaving it on long enough. If you look really carefully at the voting record, some have a voting record that are running. If you look carefully at the voting record, you can see a pattern of who has consistently kept their promise for years.
Yes.
And those are the kind of people that you can let go to Washington, take your eye off the ball, live your life a little while, and have confidence that they are doing the right thing.
Right.
And that means a lot.
Diane, let me disagree with you just a little bit. I feel like that the people who go to Raleigh and to D.C. need to know that we are paying attention because they're getting so much pressure from lobbyists. They need to hear from we the people.
I know. And we love that. But if we have to take our eye off the ball, what means so much, at least to me, is to know that when people's eye, the voter's eye, is off the ball, they still do the right thing. I guess like that's the definition of character, doing the right thing even when no one's looking.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Well, what else does CCTA do? Well, how you alluded to it just a second ago, Diane going and making all these trips and stuff. Diane is the chair of our North Carolina Legislative Action Committee, our state committee there. And you just recently took some trips up to Raleigh. And I think one of them was, what was it, House Bill 184?
184, also known as the Anti-Falwell Bill. There's some things that really motivate me. Everybody has their own talents, their own interests. My interest is to be able to be a watchdog, to make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and alerting other people who don't have the time to do the background to help them understand what's going on. And this bill, Rainer had explained it to me because I'm a little dense on some things, but this bill, and she predicted it, that this was going to turn into a big thing. This has to do with the state health plan, which Falwell inherited. It's a mess. It's got, 5% is actually funded. There's lots of unfunded liabilities.
$35 billion worth of unfunded liabilities.
Which will be... The taxpayers will be on the hook for that at some point.
Well, for our listeners that may not know who Falwell is,
that's
Dale Falwell. He's our state treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
He has done an excellent job as a fiscal conservative and trying to save the state money. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's trying to do here is save quite a bit of money. I don't have the figures here in front of me, but it's a good plan.
And he implemented a plan called the Clear Pricing Plan. Which would, first of all, require hospitals to make list their prices, be transparent, and explain what their pricing is. Apparently, from what I understand, is that the hospitals don't want to do that. They believe that there was an understanding before that they can just submit bills.
Right.
No one has to question it, which I don't know in what world the hospitals are living in, but this is taxpayer money.
They're referring to the schedule of charges as being confidential.
Right.
And they're talking about other charges, like for the radiology and other testing that may be done. And I don't know, charges that people don't even realize until they've already had it, and then they demand that they be paid for. Right.
And I understand some of those charges are inflated up to 800%.
Right.
And they don't want to be questioned about it. They don't want people to know. They just figure, we'll submit it. The state has the money. The state will pay for it.
Mm-hmm. So, and Diane, this applies also to the deductibles for the employees of the state and the retirees of the state.
Right.
So it's coming out of their pockets as well as taxpayer pockets.
And it's I think it's 88%. Was that the figure? 88. It's the Medicare price plus 88%.
Yeah, originally
82.
Right, but now it's been raised up to 88%.
82.
Okay, I'm sorry. 82%. We got that right now.
Over
but what
Medicare
bothers me is, and that's not enough for them.
No.
And needless to say, this has generated quite a bit of interest. As you saw in Raleigh, a lot of people showed up
Well, this thing is teetering on a precipice because it's been projected that they'll be insolvent by 2023. It's just right around the corner. And Dale Fall was trying to do something about it, and they're trying to spike the ball.
Exactly.
And which committee was it you went to?
It was the House Standing
Health
Committee on Health.
And who's the chairman of it?
The lead chairman is Dr. Greg Murphy. Yeah. Who's supporting the bill.
It tells me a lot.
So the bill, first and foremost, it takes the responsibility away from Falwell to solve the problem. Because actually, to be honest, the hospitals don't want the problem solved. Okay? So you have the hospital industry, that lobby group, that interest group, versus the people and the state employees.
All right.
And so we went to the, I went to the health committee. I wanted to hear what the arguments were. And Phil Shepard, Representative Shepard, had called me and said I would probably want to go because I'll want to hear what they are saying in support of this. Well, the meeting was all about the hospital industry. It was totally one-sided, 100%.
Yeah.
They only spoke about
how... Well, you know they're going to bring in all their cronies, right? Right.
And no one spoke on behalf of the state workers or retirees. No one spoke on behalf of the taxpayers who would be on the hook for the unfunded liabilities.
All right.
So it passed, and I don't know how many total members on the committee, but only two voted against. That was Representative Shepard, and we thank him for that.
Now, you say it passed. The actual House Bill 184 passed?
No, it got out of committee.
Got out of committee. Okay.
Right. So, yeah. So,
two more committees for it to go to.
So, bills have to go into committee, and then they are voted. And that's a way for bills to either be killed, just kept down. You know, it's a way to kind of parse out which bills will really go to the floor.
Okay, well, we need to pause for a moment here and take a break, but we'll talk some more about this when we come back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, before the break, we were talking about House Bill 184. Diane Ruffino, chair of our Legislative Action Committee, got some folks together, went to Raleigh, sat in on the committee meetings there. And she's going to keep us apprised of the outcome of that and what's coming up next. Hal, you had a comment?
Well, they got some attention because somebody emailed us today and said that she was a retiree on that system, and now she was against the 184, House Bill 184. She would see it not pass.
All right. Well, let's go into explaining some more here about what CCTA does. Now, because of all the interest generated about this House Bill 184, and just because he's doing an outstanding job as state treasurer, CCTA holds a monthly meeting, third Tuesday of every month, free and open to the public, downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. In April, our guest speaker will be State Treasurer Dale Falwell.
Woo-wee.
And he's going to come and tell us all about his health plan. And after he gets through with his presentation, we're going to have Q&A. So if you come, you'll get to talk to him, ask questions. And, of course, after the meeting adjourns, you can have one-on-one time with him. As always, our meetings are well attended, and, you know, people show a lot of interest in these types of guest speakers, so I think it's going to turn out to be a big one. I must mention also that the John Locke Foundation is co-sponsoring with us, and they've got quite a few of their folks will be attending, so get there early to get a good seat is all I can tell you. Rainer?
Well, I was going to bring out the John Locke's co-sponsoring with us, and it's April the 16th at 7 o'clock at Stanley Hall, so save the date. Plan to be there.
Right, and once again, if you go to cctaxpayers.com, it ought to be in your favorites. It should be the first thing comes up on your computer when you turn it on in the morning. You go there, and on the homepage, it'll always list what our next meeting is. As soon as we have that information, it's posted. It also gives you directions, times, and it's in downtown New Bern, within walking distance of several good restaurants, where if you want to come early to get a parking place, go have something to eat, and then walk right up to Stanley Hall, and there you are. So we invite you to come out and join us. Hope you will. All right. Mary, you had a topic you wanted to talk about.
I'm a resident of the city of New Bern. And as a resident and as a CCTA member, I went to the aldermen's meeting last night. And one of the proposals on the agenda was a proposal by Alderman Jeff Odom. He had written a letter to the county compass explaining how the city could save a serious amount of money by rescheduling their municipal elections. Basic elections are expensive.
Yes.
And the city was holding their elections in October every 4 years on an off year. So the elections were costing $36,000 if there wasn't a runoff, or $55,000 if there was a runoff.
Right.
And voter turnout was awful because nobody expects there to be an election in October.
By off year, you mean no presidential election or anything?
Yeah,
like that.
An odd numbered year every 4 years.
I got you.
So it's not even a what do you call it?
A congressional
election.
Nothing else going on.
No, yeah, exactly. And people don't expect
it's a municipal election for the city of New Bern is about.
So anyway, Jeff Odom suggested that they do their municipal election during the primary for the general election, which people would come out for anyway, and because of it being combined with a federal election, would cost less than $5,000 instead of $36,000 or
$55,000. Exactly.
And it would increase voter turnout because they're already there. They're already
And the downside of this has to evidently would have to go to Raleigh, and our city charter would have to be changed. The only downside was that this particular board of aldermen would wind up serving 3 years instead of four.
They would lose 1 year of the term they're already serving.
Yeah, and they didn't necessarily like that.
Yeah.
And the only people who voted for the bill were Mayor Dana Outlaw, Alderman Kinsey, and Alderman Odom. Everyone else voted against it.
Right.
And I am furious. We are in the middle of hurricane recovery where every penny counts. And these people refuse to do something that every 4 years would save the city between $30,000 and $50,000.
Right. Now, one of them did say there was alternatives that would save money also,
yes,
but wouldn't cost them that 1 year of their current term, you know.
They didn't consider it either.
No, they still didn't. You know, that was an excuse as far as I'm concerned.
I can tell you what that was. If they conducted their municipal election at the same time that other municipalities did theirs, they could all be done on the same day, which would probably maybe increase turnout some. I don't
right.
know. I'm not
well,
sure.
Well, anyway, Melanie Ray.
Save money.
Melanie Ray, Director of Elections here in Craven County, has we've had her as a guest here on the radio show and at our public meetings a number of times. And she's brought it up to us before. She didn't understand why they wouldn't go ahead. It would save her so much time, effort, because they have to gear up just for that. And that's mm-hmm. what makes it so expensive is, you know, having to gear up just for that election. So maybe there'll be another attempt at it. I don't know.
Well, I'd like to mention that I was very proud of CCTA and pleased that with things going on in Raleigh that we were interested in there, too. And we also had a good turnout at that Board of Aldermen meeting.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. And we had about three peers, as they looked like, there in the front. They were occupied by CCTA members. And, man, that felt really good to me.
Right.
I kept trying to talk, and I didn't realize that there wasn't a night in which people were supposed to be able to make a petition. And at first, I about decided to sit down. They weren't going to call on me. I had signed in over the place where they wanted to know what subject you wanted to petition on and all that, but apparently that lays there on the weeks, when
right.
the times when you can't make one. But anyway, finally, I got recognized by the mayor, and I
they called a vote on it
and
allowed you to speak.
I thought that was very generous of them under the fact that I didn't know the rules that well.
You know what?
Just because you were allowed to speak doesn't mean that they listened.
whoa, Bob, that hurts. I thought I had their attention.
I've got an idea I'd like to suggest, and that is that Dana Outlaw, Johnny Ray Kenzie, and Jeffrey Odom behaved like they cared about the people they represent.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Maybe the other aldermen should rethink their positions.
Yep. Well, that's where organizations like CCTA come into play, because we can put pressure on them. And the way we do that is showing up at these meetings like we did last night. We took up two rows, didn't we?
Three
rows. So, folks, that's another one of our core values and core items that we do is try to attend the commissioners meeting, the school board meetings, the alderman meetings, because it all starts locally. You know, presidential election's great and Congress and all that's great, but you got to start locally, because that's where you got to be.
Now, if you will excuse the shameless plug, an article discussing this is up at rightwinggranny.com.
That's not shameless. That's Mary, and Mary Griswold, and she is the author and publisher of rightwinggranny.com.
She writes well, too. She makes it very clear what the situation is.
Right. And the name of the blog should tell you where she's coming from. Hal?
Yeah, one more thing that I wanted to say about it is it's interesting to me, when we first got there, the room was packed. And as they went down their issue, I thought they had about 15 or 16 items on their agenda, and as they went down each one, they would be addressing a certain issue, such as the noise ordinance. And then when they finished with that, all the people interested in no noise ordinance got up and walked out. And so we were item number 13, and in fact, they dropped that down to, they took 14
and
15 earlier, and by the time that they let us talk, there was nobody there except the mayor, the board of aldermen, and some of the staff, and it was it.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more thing about that. I wonder if the people who voted against this, understanding that it would save serious money for the taxpayers, just assumed that it would be under the radar and nobody would know about it.
Yes.
Which is all the more reason for people to go to rightwinggranny.com so that they thoroughly understand what exactly did happen. And maybe they'd like to speak to their alderman and suggest that they revisit it.
Right.
Yes, we need to raise a ruckus, because that saving would occur every 4 years.
Yeah.
So, folks, I hope you see why it's so important that you be a participant in the process and come out and visit at our meetings, get to know us. Maybe you'll decide to join and get actively involved. We could use all the help we could get. We need to take another break to hear from our sponsors. I hope you will visit them. And when you do, please tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Thanks for sticking around. We hope we have found something of interest to you, and you'll tell your friends about the show and maybe even come back and listen to us next week. All right. I want to move on a little bit here, and we've been talking about some of the things that CCTA does, but I'm going to tell you what, there's something that really aggravates me, that just burns me up, and I'm sure it does you too. You know, several times the citizens of North Carolina have overwhelmingly supported certain bills, amendments to the Constitution, and we voted and our voices were heard, and then one stinking liberal judge overturned it.
Variety, life to right to life, man, right. You name it.
Diane, marriage. You were talking about some that just happened in the past week. Tell us about it.
I think it was yesterday. We had a federal judge out in the Raleigh area struck down the North Carolina bill which prohibits abortion after 20 weeks.
Now, that struck down the bill, which means now they can do abortions after 20 weeks.
So now he's tending towards the more expansive view of a woman's abortion rights. The goal of our legislature is to limit that right and put some kind of limitations on it. Then today, I found out that a judge struck down the workers' requirement for Medicaid that would affect states Kentucky and Arkansas. And this is a judge that was appointed by Obama. And Medicaid is a joint funding program, government and states, right? We both put in. And Trump had agreed to the policy that there should be a workers' limitation. Yep. Mm-hmm. And the judge says there's no rational relationship to having a workers' requirement to Medicaid. In effect, the way I see it is that he's substituting his judgment for the judgment of the legislature, who is trying to put limits. Medicaid, they say, should be for those individuals who can't work, who are disabled or truly in bad way. Those who can work should be working.
Right. And then the most recent one, now this has got a lot of people upset. Jesse Smollett case.
Oh, my God.
16 felony counts. And one judge has decided, let him go, clean his record. And seal.
Well, not even a judge. It's a prosecutor. There was never a trial. So that we won't have double jeopardy on this.
Charges will not be brought against him, right?
That's what they're saying.
This discussion leads me to want to share one more of the questions that are on our questionnaire for candidates.
Mm-hmm.
What would cause you to call for bringing impeachment charges against a judge?
Right.
I think it's high time we ask this question because there are too many judges behaving badly on too many benches, and we're getting this kind of nonsense as a result.
And folks, let me explain to you now. A lot of these are unelected judges. They're not voted for. They're appointed by the governors they're appointed judges. You may not participate in the judge races for the elected judges, but you need to understand how important that is. Also, you may not see the importance of the governor's race. You may just go there and say, I'm just here to vote for the president. Well, that's what happens. There's too many people that do that. They don't know who the judge candidates are. They don't know anything about the governors that are running. And they just go in there and vote for the president. And that's how we end up in this situation. We get liberals in positions of power to appoint these judges, and then they take the liberties that they take.
Yep.
I think Diane had another remark on that same subject. I wanted to change the subject a little.
Okay. Let me, there's another decision or an opinion or ruling by a very liberal judge. It's an uber liberal judge we talked about on a previous show, Judge Collins out in Raleigh, and he is the uber-liberal judge who struck down the voter ID amendment to the state constitution, claiming that it was a product of illegal, racially inspired gerrymandering. Hence, the legislature was comprised of members who should not have been elected because those maps were illegal. Since they came up with the bill that prompted the amendment, then the amendment is null and void. That's what he said. Thank God our leaders, our Republican leaders in the House, are challenging or appealing that ruling. But that's one man, one judge, throwing out everything that the state of North Carolina, the voters, the people,
is contortionist logic.
It's beyond the scope of comprehension, really.
Yep.
One of the things that I wanted to mention is going back to the abortion being allowed after 20 weeks. I think it put it in a little bit of perspective to think of that more like about 5 months. Because 20 weeks, because just numbers kind of roll off of you, but 5 months. Raina's brother was born premature. He only weighed 3.5 pounds. I don't remember exactly how many months it was that he was delivered. Do you know?
I can't remember, but I know for years he had the record of the smallest preemie.
But
ever
here's
born
a 3.5 pound baby that survived. Boy, you wouldn't think he was 3.5 pounds when he was born if you looked at him now.
24 weeks is what's
big
called
viability.
Yeah. And the chances are that a baby born at 24 weeks can survive outside the womb.
Sure.
But again, I just don't see how a judge is the one that's making a medical call. The matter of life isn't something that's black and white. It's not in a book. It's not in a science paper. Sometimes it's linked to religion. It's to your value system. It's to what a mother feels. I was pregnant a couple times, and I did lose a baby into my fourth month. And I tell you, by that fourth month, I was a mother. I wasn't just carrying a bowl of cells. I was a mother. Yeah. That baby had a name, and I was ready to greet her. So, sometimes the kicking, the heartbeats. I mean, normal people who want to be pregnant, this is life.
Yeah, and how I appreciate you bringing up that point, but you know what's even more disturbing than that?
What's that, Rick?
They've got it now. Babies that survive an abortion attempt.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Oh,
they've survived. They've been born. Mm-hmm. They're still alive. Mm-hmm. The bill in New York, they can go ahead.
And murder that. An alive baby.
Right. I thought that Gosnell case upsets people so much that sort of thing would stop.
Well, people have been conditioned now that they've seen so much of this violence and atrocities on TV that they're just numb to a lot of it now.
I don't see how people can be numb to it.
Well, evidently they are because they put up with it. Diane?
The only reason I can see that you can give a woman the right to terminate a baby after the abortion has been botched, still born alive, is to still agree with her that because it's inconvenient, she has the right to make that decision.
Oh,
all right. So we're saying that you can terminate an individual life, a set of DNA, a unique set of DNA, which is what defines a new life,
mm-hmm.
that life is inconvenient, can be terminated. We go down that path.
Yeah.
We're going to Nazi Germany.
What happens when somebody gets old and they're a nuisance to their children?
Yeah.
Do we murder them? What if somebody has an accident on the job and loses a leg or an arm? What, are we going to murder them because they're too much of a burden?
What if government makes that call? You're talking about
government involved so much reminds me of the thing in England where the baby could have come back to America, got medical treatment, and the parents were told, no, this baby's not your baby. It belongs to
the state. Yeah.
Good Lord.
We've got to turn in a different direction. This is too horrible.
Oh, we've got to turn back to God.
Thank you,
That's where it all started, when we started turning away from God, when they took it out of everything and still trying to do more. There was a church, I can't remember what state recently, it was a chapel on a college campus.
They took the cross off the top.
They had the crane in there to take the cross off the top of it because it offended somebody.
Well, let them be offended.
Well, do you remember when President Obama spoke at, I believe it was Georgetown, that they covered up the cross behind him?
Yes. I also remember when he slipped up and said something about his Muslim faith.
Yes, that was funny.
Well, that brings me to a point that was at the last Board of Commissioners meeting. Recently, Ray Griffin, a minister, started talking about Muslims and religion and, I don't know, some subjects he brought up, and he was dressed down. He was told he couldn't talk like that there.
Mm.
He couldn't mention Christian or Muslim or
a specific
Republican
religion
or Democrat or anything that identified people specifically. He was barred from doing that by George Liner, who's the chairman of the Board of Commissioners. And I thought that was an outrage. You can read about it in the County Conference.
Right. And also, now that you brought that up, there was one woman that came before the commissioners and complained about prayer.
Yeah.
And so I think they've stopped doing that. What they're going to do is appoint the attorney to.
Right.
Yeah.
Apparently, all it takes is a threat of a lawsuit.
That's it.
And so what we got to do is find a lawyer willing to bring suit against them and threaten them with a lawsuit. That would scare them to death, apparently.
Yeah, evidently. Because all across the nation, that's all it's taken is the fear of being sued for them to buckle and acquiesce.
We need to shop for representatives at all levels of government who actually have a backbone.
Right.
And see, the threat was not only against the county, it was them individually.
Right. Yeah. The individual commissioners could be sued. was what their attorney told them. So, yeah, it's fear tactics, and it's threatening with lawsuits. And, well, look what's going on here with the Mueller case and all the people that have been indicted and bankrupted just going through the process. Guilty or not, doesn't matter. Legal fees mount up fast, and a lot of people can't handle it.
That kind of behavior by the Department of Justice, by the FBI and so on, is inexcusable. We need a one justice system for everybody.
Right. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's wake up call. Hope you guys have gotten something out of it. Like I said, don't forget April the 16th.
Yep.
Third Tuesday, downtown New Bern, Stanley Hall Ballroom, CCTA's monthly public meeting. It's open
7 p.m.
7 p.m. It's free. It's open to the public. We'll have refreshments. It's a beautiful ballroom. If you've never been there, we can seat up to 200 people in there. And our guest speaker this month is going to be, or in April, I'm sorry, tomorrow is April. April 16th is State Treasurer Dale Falwell, and he's going to come and talk to us about his health plan. I'm looking forward to hearing that. You won't have to listen to he said, she said. You'll get it right out of the horse's mouth.
And he's holding a reception speaker before our meeting, so you might want to make that too.
Right. Well, that's for the John Locke Foundation people. Okay.
And Rick, looking forward to May is the Back the Blue.
Back the Blue. We did that last year. We're going to do it again this year. We're going to recognize some of the officers and deputies that have gone above and beyond the call of duty.
And our program chairman is doing a wonderful job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. All right. That's it for today. Visit our sponsors. Tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA wake-up call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.